We're now going to hear God's word. Boys and girls, you can look at the screen. Adults, you should pick up a Bible and turn, first of all, to Acts chapter 3. But you then need to have your finger in Hebrews 2 and Hebrews 12. But if you're not quick enough to move from one bit of the Bible to another, they will all be on the screen. Boys and girls, I'm going to turn round. Boys and girls, I want you to follow it on the screen, okay? I want you to follow it on the screen, and I'm going to read it on the screen, and so you follow the words on the screen as I read. Is that all right? Okay, so we're going to start in Acts 3, then we're going to Hebrews 2 and Hebrews 12. Let's read the Bible. Ready? You imagine the story that we're going to read about now. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." And then some verses from Hebrews chapter 2. "In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers." And then lastly, from Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is God's word to us this morning. Adults, as you sit down, please do pick up your Bible. But boys and girls, you leave your Bibles on the floor, okay, so you're not distracted with something in your hands. Adults, would you have your Bible open at Acts chapter 3? And you'll also find it helpful to have your finger in the book of Hebrews. Boys and girls, would you give me your ears? Give me your ears, pin them back, okay? Give me your eyes, make sure they're nice and wide open, yeah? And I want you to give me your minds. Will you wind your mind up? Because we want to learn together from God's word about the Lord Jesus. And as we start, I want us to think about things that we cannot do without. For example, think of a goldfish. What can a goldfish not do without? Or to put it another way, what does a goldfish need all the time? Yes? Water, that's right. If we were to be really cruel and pour all the water out of the goldfish bowl, or if we were to take the goldfish out of the bowl, what would happen to the goldfish? It would die, that's right. Because a goldfish needs water all the time. Now, what about us as human beings? Are there things that we need all the time? Well, there are. There are things we can't do without. So here's an illustration. What's in that balloon? Air. What do we need all the time? We need air, don't we? We need air because if we didn't have air, we would die. And there's other things we need as well. We need food, don't we? We need water to drink. We need clothes to wear. It would be very embarrassing if we didn't. And some of us, when we go to bed, does anyone want to own up? We need a cuddly toy to cuddle, don't we? Anybody need a cuddly toy to go? Yeah, some of you do. That's fine when you're little, not when you're my age. Today, we're going to think about a person who we need all of the time, a person we cannot do without. Now, it'll be no surprise to you when I tell you that person is the Lord Jesus. Now, if you remember this term in our children's talks, we're thinking about names for the Lord Jesus that we find in the New Testament. And this morning, we're going to think about a name given to the Lord Jesus that tells us that we need him, that we cannot do without him. Did anyone notice the repeated name for Jesus in our Bible readings? Did anybody notice it? Yes? Pardon? It was author. It was the word author. Well done. The word author. Now, author. Author. What is an author? What do you think about when you think of an author? Yes? Yeah, you think of books, don't you? Because an author is someone who tends to write books. I have over here a big pile of books. All of these books were written by an author. In fact, all these books were written by the same author. Would you like to meet the author of these books? That didn't sound very enthusiastic. Would you like to meet a real-life author this morning? Yeah. Would you like to meet the author of these books? Yeah. Well, he's here. He's here. He's my dad. He's called Mr. Prime. Mr. Prime, would you stand up, please? Have you got a microphone, Mr. Prime? Dad?
Right. Yes, I have.
Okay, so this is my dad. Now, can I just check, Dad? Are you the author of these books?
Well, I can't see what they are.
Yes. Dad, are you the author of these books?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Now, Dad, do you know how many books you've written?
No. And the reason why is a very simple one. David counted all his troops rather than trusting in God. And I don't want to count how many books I've written so I don't become proud of them.
Okay.
I still can
now,
be.
Let me ask you another question. I knew he'd say that. Let me ask you another question. This isn't rehearsed, however. Are any of these books for children?
Yes, the first books I did were for children.
There's some of them there, I think. Oh, there's a really old one there, but that's a modern version of it. Now, why did you write these books?
Well, in a church, not in North London, but in South London, the young wives, that is the mums of the children in the church, used to meet every week, and they asked me one time to go and talk about how they should teach their children about God and the Lord Jesus. And as I thought about it, I thought the best thing was to tell them, put it in a story form. So I invented a family with one girl and one boy and imagined how I would answer the questions those children asked. But then I thought, well, why don't I do it of a Sunday morning? So I started a series on the Sunday morning.
Now, Dad, you're starting to preach, so I'm going to stop you. Two more questions, all right? And boys and girls, I want you to listen to the answer to these questions, all right? Dad, here's the very important question. Would any of these books have been written if you hadn't written them?
Not as far as I know.
Okay, so they wouldn't have been written if you had written them. Who decided what was written in these books?
I did.
You did. Thank you, Dad. You can sit down now. Now, boys and girls, all look here again. Don't look at my dad. Look at me. He'll get embarrassed if you look at him. Ben? Look here. I want you to imagine that these books are like our lives. When the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus is the author, in the first part of the Bible that we read this morning, it tells us that he is the author of life. Look at the screen. Here's what Peter, one of the disciples, said. He said, "You killed the author of life." Now that is what the Lord Jesus is. So earlier on, what did we sing? We sang the creation song, didn't we? Do you want to get your fingers out? We sang about what happened on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and how on the seventh day God rested. We sang about how everything that God does is good. Now here's the question. Who is it who made everything? Well, the Bible says that it's the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. That he is the author of, can you say it with me? He is the author of? That means that he's the author, he's the creator of everything that there is. It means that he's the author of our lives. Would this book have been written were it not for my dad? It wouldn't, would it? We wouldn't exist this morning. I wouldn't exist. You wouldn't exist. No one in the world would exist if the Lord Jesus had not given them physical life. And he's the one who made everything in this world. But did you hear the other thing that my dad said when I asked him? Who decided what was written in these books? Who decided what was written in these books? Who did? I didn't. Who did? My dad did, that's right. Because an author is the person who can decide what's written in the book. Now imagine your life is like this book. Who has the right to decide how we live our lives? It's the Lord Jesus, because he is the author of life. He has the right to tell us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. But can I tell you something very sad? The sad thing is that most people, in fact, all of us naturally, we don't live the way the author of life wants us to live. And that's something that was seen most clearly when the Lord Jesus, the author of life, became a man. You see, that's what Peter was talking about when he says, look at the screen, will you? When he said to the people of his day, he said, you killed the author of life. Let me tell you the story. Peter and John. Have you heard of Peter and John? Peter and John were disciples of the Lord Jesus. And this was after the Lord Jesus had died and been raised from the dead and gone back to heaven. And one day, Peter and John, they were on their way to the temple to pray. And as they got to the temple, they saw this man. Now, this man was a cripple. What did that mean? It meant that his legs didn't work properly. It meant that when he tried to stand on his legs, they wouldn't hold him up. And so every day, his friends used to carry him to the temple, and then they'd put him at the gate to the temple, and he'd sit there, and he'd ask people for money. So Peter and John, they're on their way to the temple, and they get to the gate of the temple, and this man, what do you think he does? He asks them for money. And Peter and John, they looked at him, and they said, look at us. So the man looked at them. And what do you think the man thought they were going to do? What do you think he thought they were going to do? He thought they'd give him money. But Peter said, silver and gold, I don't have. But what I have, I'll give you. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I say to you, walk. And he leant down and he took the man by his right hand and he lifted him up. And as he did, the man's legs and ankles became strong. And he could stand on his feet. And not only could he stand on his feet, but he could jump as well. And he did. He was praising God. And as he was jumping around, everyone who knew who he was, because everyone had seen him sitting at the gate, everyone came running, wondering what had happened. How was it that this man who couldn't walk now could walk and even jump around? So Peter spoke to the crowd that had gathered. And Peter said, why does it surprise you that this man can walk? It wasn't us who did it. He said it was Jesus who did it. The same Jesus who you killed when you put him on the cross, he is the one who did this, because the Jesus you killed, the author of life, God has raised to life. And the healing of this man is the proof that Jesus, the author of life, is alive. Now, boys and girls, will you think of this man? Will you look at this man? I want you to think of him before his legs were healed. He couldn't walk. And the Bible says that's a bit like us. You see, when we don't agree with the Lord Jesus, when we try and write the book of our own lives and do what we want to do rather than what God wants to do, the Bible says our lives won't be what God wants them to be. But the Lord Jesus, the one who is the author of life, Peter said, he's the one who can actually make you new. He's the one who can give you not just physical life, but spiritual life. And you know what he said to the crowd? Peter said to the crowd who were listening to him. He said two things to them. He said, Jesus is the author of life. So don't reject him. Instead, turn to him. And if the adults look in your Bibles, you'll see that a few verses lower on. That's what Peter said to the crowd, and that is the message for us today. You see, are you still awake? Who is Jesus? He is the
author.
Who is Jesus? He is the
author.
He's the author of life. And the message God has for us this morning is very important. It's don't reject him, but instead turn to him. You see, a Christian is someone who has been given life by Jesus in two ways. Like everyone else, a Christian is someone who has been given physical life. Hands up if you've got physical life. You all got physical life. Where did that come from? It came from Jesus, the author of life. But a Christian is someone who has also been given new spiritual life by the Lord Jesus. And that spiritual life is given as we stop rejecting him, which is what we all do by nature, and instead we turn to him. And when we turn to the Lord Jesus as the one who died on the cross and rose again, he then gives us new spiritual life. So Jesus is the author of?
Life.
You can do better. He is the author of?
Life.
There's a second word, though. Because in the second reading we had, we discovered that Jesus is also the author of salvation. Now, is there anyone here who's 12 years of old age? Anybody 12? Oh, who am I going to choose? Oh, dear. Right, Noah. Come on then, Noah. Right, Noah. Now, Noah, come up here, please. Thing is, Noah's not perfect for this illustration. Because I want you to imagine for a moment, and some of you may have heard this story before. I want you to imagine for a moment that Noah is me when I was 12. Now, I could give him glasses, but then I won't be able to see. So imagine he's got glasses on, and imagine he's about that height. So when I was 12, right, this is you now, right? When I was 12, all right, stand there, right? When I was 12, like Noah is, but much smaller than me, I was on a scout camp. The scout camp, why don't you kneel? Yeah, that's about right. So the scout camp was in Scotland, and we were away for 10 days, and for 10 days, it rained. And it rained. And it rained. And it rained. And in the field that we were camping in, there was a river. And as it rained, the river got higher and higher and higher. And it got faster and faster and faster. So, Noah, I want you to imagine this is the river, okay? And Noah, I want you to imagine it's the middle of the night, all right? And I want you to imagine that you're me, and you're very little, and I fell into the river. Noah, I fell into the river. Noah, brilliant. Now, well done, stay there, you're in the river. Where is Noah? He's in the river. Now, I was very little. The river was very deep. It was very fast running. There were jagged rocks in the river. I wasn't a very good swimmer. I was in great danger. Can I tell you what happened? I wasn't on my own next to the river. A man called Norrie, who was my scout leader, do you know what he did? As I fell into the river, he jumped into the river. He got very wet. And do you know what he did? He grabbed me. Come on. He grabbed me out of the river. What did he do? He rescued me, or another word for that is he saved me. And one way I can think about Norrie, you've done well, you can go and sit, you've done well. I hope you're not too bruised. But why have I told you that story? Will you look at me? On that day, back in whenever it was, when I was 12, you could say that that man Norrie, he was the author of, can you say it with me, salvation for me. You see, when I fell into the river, there was nothing I could do to save myself. In fact, I can't remember much about it at all. But what I do know is that Norrie was the author of my salvation. He acted to save me. In fact, if he hadn't saved me, I might have drowned. And I wouldn't be here today. Now, how does that help us to understand the Lord Jesus? Well, the Bible says, although he was put to death on the cross by people who rejected him, the cross was all part of God's wonderful plan of love for people like us. And when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he was dying, taking the punishment I deserve for not doing what the author of life says I should do. I deserve to be punished, but Jesus on the cross, he took the punishment instead of me. You see, when Norrie, who became a great friend of mine, when Norrie jumped into the river to save me, he put himself in danger, didn't he? He also got very, very wet. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he put himself in the greatest of danger, and he did it in order to be the author of salvation. For me, for all who trust in him. And if the adults look back to the beginning of chapter 2 of Hebrews, they'll discover that the Bible says, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? And the message of Hebrews 2 is very simple. When we hear about Jesus, the author of salvation, the message is, don't ignore him, pay attention to him. You see, there's lots of people in the world and they're ignoring Jesus. There's lots of people in the world and sadly they're not paying attention to Jesus. And that's sad because if we ignore Jesus, we cannot be saved. If we don't pay attention to the Lord Jesus, we cannot be saved. There's lots of people in the world and they think they can save themselves. They think, well, if I do lots of good things, or I try not to get into trouble, that when I die, God will let me into heaven. And the Bible says, no, God will not let us into heaven. We all deserve to be punished rather than go to heaven. But the Lord Jesus came to be the author of salvation. That's why he died on the cross. And as we stop ignoring him and pay attention to him, as we trust what he says to us in the Bible, he promises to save us. Are you still with me? So Jesus is the author of life. He's the author of... And there's one more. We also read that he is the author of faith. Look at the last verse that we read. This verse was written to people who had stopped rejecting Jesus and had stopped ignoring Jesus. This verse was written to people who had turned to Jesus and were paying attention to Jesus. And look what it says. You what? Follow? Oh, that's the wrong verse. It's this one. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Has anyone been on a bus recently? Anyone been on a train recently? Yesterday I went on lots of trains to South London and back again. Now I want you to think about a bus and I want you to think about a train. When you get on a bus or on a train, what are you doing? You're actually putting your faith in that bus or train. You're trusting that if you get on a train, it will take you where it promises to take you. If you get on a bus, like this one says, to Southgate, then you're getting on the bus promising that it will take you to Southgate. Now, it's a bit like that with the Lord Jesus, when he's described to us as the author of our faith. You see, the Lord Jesus is the one who promises that as we turn to him, as we start paying attention to him, he is the one who, because he died on the cross and then came back to life again, he is the one who will take us safely to heaven. And that's one way of thinking of him as the author of our faith. You see, if the Lord Jesus hadn't left heaven and become a man and died on the cross and rose again, no one could go to heaven. But the Lord Jesus is the author of our faith. He's the one who did all those things so that as we trust in him, we can be sure that he will get us to where he's promised to take us. He will get us to heaven. And that's why in the verse on the screen, it says he's the author and perfecter of our faith. He not only starts our Christian journey, but he keeps us going on it and he will take us to the end of it. And then we learn as Christians that what we do is we spend our life following Jesus, the one who has walked the pathway in front of us. And the message of Hebrews, chapter 12 is very simple. When it comes to the Lord Jesus, the author of faith, the message is don't forget him, look to him. And looking to Jesus is a way of describing what it means to trust the Lord Jesus. So, are you going to say them nice and loud? Jesus is the author of?
Life.
The author of?
Salvation.
The author of?
Faith.
Let me end in this way. I want you to imagine that this book is your life. All right? This is the story of your life. Now, I know what the first chapter says. Because the first chapter says that you are only alive because Jesus, the author of life, gave you life. That's what we've been learning this morning. That is the first chapter of the book of everyone's life. But then can I tell you something else? There's lots of other chapters in the book of your life that are full of not very nice things. Do you know how I know that? Because that's true of mine as well. Because rather than doing what the author of life says we should do, we're all quite selfish, aren't we, and stubborn. And rather than saying, I'll do what the Lord Jesus wants me to do, we say, I want to do what I want to do. That's what the Bible calls sin. And the Bible says that the lives of the books of all of us are full of things that God doesn't like. But here's what I want to ask you. Has a new chapter of your life started? Because the Bible says that as we stop rejecting Jesus, as we stop ignoring him, as we stop forgetting him, and instead turn to him, pay attention to him, and look to him in faith, because he is the author of life, because he is the author of salvation, because he is the author of faith, he starts to write a new chapter of our lives. The life of people who look to him every day, who trust him day by day, who say, Lord Jesus, I need you. You see, that's what all this tells us this morning. We need Jesus. Without Jesus, we can't have life. Without Jesus, we can't have, what's the hidden word?
Salvation.
Without Jesus, we have no faith. So this morning, are you someone who is trusting the Lord Jesus as the author of life, the author of salvation, the author of your faith? Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for showing us again that we need him, not just sometimes, but all the time. We thank you that he is the author of life, the author of salvation, the author of our faith. Father, forgive us, please, for the many times when we've rejected him, the many times we've ignored him, the many times we've forgotten him. Right now, our Father, help us all to turn to him, to pay attention to him, and to look to him in faith. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.